This is the Worth Report.
What we're hearing so far is very good. It's very positive. I think we're coming off of good, strong numbers from October. The survey work we've done already indicates that we're going to have almost record-breaking crowds this year. We're going to have really big numbers, 137 million people out there over the weekend. 74% will be out shopping today. There's some great deals. So we're looking for a really strong holiday.
74% of the 139 million will shop today.
Yeah, so this will be the biggest day of the weekend.
So the stories I read online are, they quote you guys, 59% of Americans will shop on this holiday weekend.
Over the next 3 days.
How does that compare to last year?
That's about right on target. A little bit higher than last year. But overall, we think sales are going to be up. Consumers are going to spend more. So for the first time ever, we've seen 25% of people say they plan to spend more this year than last year.
And the other thing this year, what about Christmas on a Sunday?
It'll be a really big Saturday.
Good Saturday, and welcome to another edition of The Worth Report. I am filling in today for our good friend Nick Wharton, who is off doing holiday things. We miss Nick very much, as always, but I am joined by our good friend Glenn Wright with Worth Financial, founder and CEO, no less. How you doing this morning there, Glenn?
Doing great, Will.
Good, man.
How about yourself, man? You doing all right this morning?
I am doing very well. Obviously gearing up for the holidays. Got my son, and he's pretty excited. Keeps telling me everything he wants, and so far we're up to about everything.
Okay,
so,
hey, got it.
So actually, I'm kind of excited that I get to fill in today, because I would be asking all these same questions even if I weren't filling in. So that's what we're actually going to talk about today, is the holidays and getting ready for the holidays, and obviously, tis the season to spend some money, right?
Yeah, tis the season to get nervous. Tis the season to overspend. Tis the season to have guilt. High blood pressure and many other things that come with it.
That's right. You're closing out the year, and people are starting to kind of ease into being off work a little bit. Kids are getting out of school, and you can just kind of feel it. I actually live near Carolina Place Mall.
Okay.
Traffic, you just don't go out on Saturday and Sundays right now. You just know better. Don't even leave the house, but that leads, like I said, that's why we're going to talk about some of this stuff today. And we're going to talk about, how people should treat Christmas as far as the financial aspect of it, because it's easy enough to go out and just buy everything everybody wants, and you don't really think about the consequences when you're in the middle of it, But our good friend Cy, actually, he did a little research for us, as he always does, and we do thank Cy for that. And he found a great website Found a great website called Wallet Hub. It's a really cool website, and they've got some basic questions that we thought, we've got a financial expert. Why not go ahead and ask him these questions and see what he tells us about that? So today we're going to talk about, how you can sort of work the financial part of this thing to your benefit and not let it completely overwhelm you on the back end, if you will. So one of the first questions they do ask, though, Glenn, is, what are the tips that you can give people to kind of avoid that overspending with, running up credit card debt and that kind of thing?
First thing, Will, is just watch who you're hanging around. Watch who you're listening to. You watch TV. Everything is buy, buy, buy. Mm-hmm. You're listening to your friends. They say buy, buy, buy. And this season really isn't even made for that. Mm-hmm. It's really about enjoying and love and the season of being around family and friends, people you care about. However, now it's all about commerce. What can you give me? How many gifts can you buy me? And it just becomes overwhelming. So the first thing is stop and breathe. Let's take all the way all the other people around you. Have some, a little incense burning or something, I'm thinking yoga, or something like that, and just meditate.
There you go.
And take a step back. But be realistic in your giving. Set a dollar amount on how much you're going to spend for everybody.
Right.
And stick to it. Yeah. And if you get to that number, you're done. Yeah. You're done. That's it. And they will still love you next year. And if they don't, then you don't need them anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which saves you having to buy a gift the following year.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
I think too, what you said there, the fun, setting a dollar amount. I think so many times, people get a list of what they want to get for, say, their child or for someone. They just get the list, don't really think. It's almost like you go to a really nice restaurant. There's no price tag on the menu. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what you're doing there. And then you go out, you buy all those things, and you realize, oh, wow, that didn't cost me a lot more than I might have expected. So I think, I would agree with that. I know for me, my son is very young, so I get to set that right now. I get to set that dollar amount low. But I think if you start there too, you know, if you make that an early on thing, and I know it's not always going to be about kids, but you know, if you set limits with people and they always know you're not going to go across that limit, they're never going to be disappointed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that,
right.
They're just not going to be disappointed.
Right.
And hey, listen, I fell into that trap the first year where I was, you know, getting him everything and anything I could think of. I was like, I'm going to be the best dad ever. And it's like,
yeah.
Wow, my son did not love me any more or less based on the amount of gifts. So.
Exactly. So let me give you another example of that, because you can't just merely set a dollar amount. For instance, if you make $5,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
you can't say, well, I'm going to spend $5,000 for gifts for this year.
Right.
That won't work in the budget, because you still have to pay for your rent, your mortgage, your car note if you have one, your gas, your food, etc.
Yeah.
Those still have to be paid regardless. And people avoid thinking about those, and that's how they get into debt.
Gotcha.
So making sure you have that. And let's say that you haven't done a great job this year. You're already in debt. You have credit card debt.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying high interest debt. Then we need to look to reduce that. So now the gifts are even smaller. If you can't afford to pay them and pay your current bills at the current rate to pay them off, then you might not be able to buy many gifts at all.
Yeah.
And it sounds very harsh. Send out thank you cards.
Yeah.
That's really the take. And I'm not trying to be Scrooge, but it's just important that in January, you don't wake up and say, wow, I'm really messed up. And it happens all the time. Just like I just got back from Cabo Fish Taco. Every time I go, I have one taco too many. And I know it. I just go overboard. So the same thing as it pertains to this. You have to make sure that you don't put yourself in that trap. Now you're dealing with high interest debt. It could affect your credit and so on.
Well, and I think, too, it's important to note that, you know, if you're thinking about using credit cards to buy those gifts, you know, don't just say, well, I'm putting it on the credit card, so it's no big deal. I mean, what cost you $100 on a credit card is going to cost you, you know, whatever that percentage rate is.
No question.
You're going to wind up paying more for that gift.
No question.
So why bother, you know?
No question. So the first thing is, after you've had your yoga moment and your meditation.
Your moment of zen.
Yeah, your moment, exactly. Let's be honest with ourselves. Do you know that you overspend?
Yeah.
Do you know that you can't be trusted when you go to the mall? If that's the, or now, forget the mall, online,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If that's the case, then you have to do things differently. So one is maybe not even using a credit card,
right,
per se. Or if you use credit cards for points, like we talk about with rewards, you treat it as a debit card and you pay it off every week to make sure that you don't overspend.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you are looking at this particular gift that you want to buy, either for yourself or for someone else, and you feel uncomfortable about it, walk away.
Yeah.
Walk away from it.
Well, I think there's an element of keeping up with the Joneses too, that I think some people have. And I believe, I could be wrong, but I think people have a tendency to be influenced by their children and by, you know, well, Susie got a, you know, Xbox and Johnny got a PlayStation. Why can't I have one?
Or, yeah,
you know,
Susie got a car.
Yeah. Susie got a car. Why don't I get a car? You
right.
know, so
exactly.
So there's that, you know, part of the equation too, where people feel like they have to keep their kids caught up to the other kids around them. And you know, that's just not the case. So anyway, another question they have here for you. How do you think the current social and economic environments are influencing household holiday spending decisions? Obviously, with Trump coming into office, I feel like, you know, you mentioned in the last couple of shows and in past shows here that, you know, it's important right now, because the economy is in such a state of flux with him coming into office. This is especially the year not to overspend.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, this is going to be a, it depends type of answer. If you own a business and you want to expand your business, you have business expenses that you want to take advantage of,
mm-hmm.
this would actually be the time to do that. Why is that? One reason, we're in a higher tax rate environment than we probably will be next year, because one of the big promises from the Trump administration is we're going to lower your taxes.
Right.
So if that's the case, you're going to get more bang for the buck by taking advantage of paying off by purchasing certain items that you may need for the future, buying it this year and getting the tax deduction for it. Okay,
gotcha.
So spending can be good there. Now, spending will be bad, however, If not, now, if you know, well, let me take you the second reason why spending could be good. If you know you need a car and you don't need a car because your car is paid for, or just because you've had the car 3 years, now it's time for a new one.
Right.
But because you need a car, you know you need a car, interest rates are starting to climb. The Fed is raising interest rates. 10-year treasuries have grown dramatically. So interest rates are on the rise. Because of that, this may be a good time to buy the car because you'll be able to finance it at 0 or 1%. And these deals may not always be there, especially with rates rising the way they are. Okay. Right. Now, on the latter side, because most people feel the economy is going to do better because the stock market's done better the last couple months, mm-hmm. we don't know what his administration is going to do, and we don't know what effect it's going to have both in the short term and the long term. So I would be cautious just to say spend just for the heck of it. Gotcha. In those two other areas, it could make sense, but anything else, I don't know. This is the time to save.
When you say interest rates are rising too, now you're talking about, I know on homes, cars, everything is all going up.
Yep. Yeah. When the Fed raises rates, everything gotcha. Will be affected.
Gotcha.
So home equity lines of credit, cars, et cetera.
Well, let me ask you this. I just want to take a quick exit off this real quick. I've heard so many people say, I've heard a ton of people say they think, you know, Trump's going to be impeached before he finishes in office. If that were the case, what would that do to an economy? I mean, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, you're saying, you know, it might be a good idea to spend in this situation. But if there's any chance that this happens, that he gets in there, is only in there for a couple of years, I mean, that could send the economy into a spiral.
Oh, absolutely. So if that happens, then it's especially for the short term, it could really make a difference, mm-hmm. especially in the markets and so forth, and even the interest rate markets. So if that happens, it's important to have your emergency reserve.
Yeah.
Your 3 to 6, really ultimately to your 12 months living expenses saved. Gotcha. So if you make $1,000 a month, or if you spend $1,000 a month, then you need to have $6,000 saved. Most people spend more than that. So you need more than that saved.
Right.
So if something happens and it causes you to lose your job, it's happened in Charlotte big time. You know, almost a decade ago, mm-hmm. with the banking crisis, then that's the reason why you save and you make sure that you're prepared for whatever could happen.
Buy somebody a CD at a bank or something for Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, buy them some financial security. So what tips do you have for people, how they should maybe allocate their disposable income? I mean, you've already mentioned a few there, but when you're sitting down, I mean, is there a percentage of your, you know, they say you're going to get married, you buy your fiance a ring, they say you should spend, what is it, 3 months' salary or something, or whatever that's kind of the number they use. I mean, when it comes to Christmas, is there any kind of, you know, sort of recommended idea, you know, ideal sort of, hey, you know, if you make this amount, you should probably try to stay around this amount?
Yeah, my wife thinks she was shortchanged on that deal. She brings that up from time to time.
But, not how much I'm going to be making 30 years from now.
Right, exactly.
But really is not like a sort of a.
There are rules. There are rules that we believe in, that I believe in. One is, we talk about this in The Financial Shepherd, the book I co-authored. It's a 75-25 rule. If you have debt, 75% of your disposable income goes toward your debt, 25% goes toward savings. So when you pay off one bill, then it's the same scenario. So now let's say you pay off a bill and it was $100 a month that you were paying toward it. Now, $75 of that will go toward the other debt, not including a mortgage. The other $25 will go toward the other debt. And we're primarily talking, speaking of revolving debt, like credit card debt.
Right.
You know, maybe auto loans and so forth.
Gotcha.
Now, once you have that, let's say you're debt free, or even if you're not, where do you put the cash? So 2 months living expenses should be saved at the bank. So you need to make sure you have 6 to 12 months living expenses saved and that it's liquid. Liquid meaning you can get your hands on it if you need it within 3 days or less without any type of penalty to be able to do that.
Gotcha.
Right. So liquid money. So having money in a savings account, 2 months living expenses. So again, if your living expenses are $5,000 a month, you need $10,000 in a savings account. Anything above that, I believe in having that in an investment account, a conservative investment portfolio up to the amount of your target, whatever that number is, which will be either 6 months or 12 months. The difference will be if there's one person working in the home, you need 12 months. If there are two working people in the home, 6 months.
Right.
So 6 to 12 months living expenses saved. You save the remainder of that money in that account. So now you can make money with your money. The problem with having all your money at the bank, the bank is making all your money with your cash. Mm-hmm. You aren't making that money anymore. You're making 0.01%. You're making nothing. So, in fact, you're losing money because of inflation. Inflation meaning the cost of money. So inflation is averaged about 3% over the last 30 years. So if you aren't making any money with your money, you're losing at least 3% per year. Gotcha. Just by keeping it there. So that's why making anywhere from 3 to 7% in a conservative portfolio would be fantastic. If you need the money, you can take it out. There will be volatility there. It goes up and down because it's going to be in bond market, stock market, so forth. However, it'll be more conservative, so it should be there when you need it. That way, you can outpace inflation.
Gotcha. So it kind of cancels it out, basically, is what you're trying to do there. Because
yeah.
the value of your money is going to go down, but the amount of your money will go up, and that kind of cancels it out. That makes great sense.
And hopefully exceeds it. And that's what happened. I think about my grandfather. They saved all the time, 25 here, 50 there, and they had what's called mattress money. They had money in the Bible, had money everywhere. But their quality of life never changed. Their lifestyle remained the same, even though they saved a great percentage of their earnings.
Gotcha.
The reason why is because they made no money with their money. So the buying power in 1945 clearly wasn't the same in 1985.
Right.
Right. So if you didn't make any money with your money, you actually lost money. And their actual quality of life actually went backwards, even though they were savers. They ended up spending the money anyway.
Well, real quick, if you have any questions for Glenn and about holiday spending or anything for that matter, we have a new number set up, and you can always call and leave us a question, 980-288-4022. And again, this is not, you leave your question. We'll take it from there, and we'll play it on the air. And if we do, we'll even send you a copy of the book, right?
Yeah, Financial Shepherd.
Yeah,
we'll
send you a copy of the book if you give us a call and leave us a voicemail with a question. Like I said, this is, you don't have to leave any information. We're not gonna hound you with calls or anything like that. You just give us your question and we'll take it from there. Again, that number 980-288-4022. And I've often called just to hear the sound of Glenn's voice. It's kind of nice. I'm not going to lie. So obviously, one thing we don't do enough around the holidays is love each other. Because we are too busy trying to buy affection, I feel like,
I agree.
And I think it's important to kind of, if you're somebody who already does a lot of shopping, it's especially important to kind of take a step back. One of the things that this article this website talked about is it says nearly 1 in 15 adults, and that's a lot. 1 in 15 adults are considered a shopaholic. That shocked me. 1 in 15 people are shopaholics.
Look, let me tell you, I got a story. And when you've had over 3,000 interviews like me, meeting with people all the time, you see a lot.
Yeah.
So a couple we spoke with, I met with this week. I was referred to them just to help them. I knew they weren't going to be clients, but they just needed some help. Mm-hmm. So we met with them, and they were on the verge of getting a divorce.
Oof.
Because she felt very insecure in certain areas.
Yeah.
And because of that, she shopped all the time.
Wow.
And I mean, her income may have been $60,000. She spent $70,000.
Wow.
And just shopping. So they had a huge credit card bill. And supposedly this was the third time it happened. So they would work. She'd spend all the money, all this credit card debt. They filed bankruptcy. They've consolidated. They've done all these different things. And now they're here again.
Yeah.
This is really, it can be an illness.
Yeah.
So in this case, we worked on knowing, understanding yourself. So because two people may work doesn't mean you have to have the same access to your money, especially in this situation. If you this that would be extreme, but just in general, if you know that you aren't the best with your money, then if you have a spouse and that spouse is he or she is good with money, let them hold you accountable in that area. And I know you work and I know you earn your money and all of that great stuff, but it's about the end of the day. It's not about today. It's not about shopping and you get a temporary, you feel good, but you're going to throw those clothes away at some point.
Yeah.
You know, the handbag is wonderful, but at some point it's going to be out of style.
Yeah.
The car is great. It's going to get old. It's going to become a clunker, right? At some point. So all of these things are just material things and they come and they go. But having financial security, being able to sleep well at night, being able to know that everything is rock solid, that's the real American dream.
Well, I would think that, you know, there's probably a higher number of you know, per people out there that are probably stressing out over money. And you know, and
yeah,
knowing that, you know, that many people are shopaholics. I know of a guy in my past, and, you know, his wife, she passed away, and, you know, they found out that, and this is something you've talked about, that financial infidelity kind of thing, you know, it found out after she had passed away, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in credit card debt that he had no idea.
It happens.
You know,
it happens all the time.
In fact, she even signed up for a credit card using her son's information to get another card. So that, you know, that's on him now, you know, so, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, you've talked about this a lot in the past, and that's that couple, you know, brought it back to mind, is, you know, you have to be open and honest, and especially around Christmas.
Yep.
I know you want to surprise your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your kids. Mm-hmm. You want to surprise them with stuff. But I even think for me, you know, after talking to you during the show, it's kind of occurred to me in my head, you know, I should sit down with my son and say, hey, son, just so you know, Christmas is Christmas and Santa Claus brought you some cool stuff. But even Santa has to watch his budget.
That's right.
And it's, you know, yeah, you want to get your wife a really nice gift. You want to get your husband a really nice gift. But if y'all don't have the honesty with your financial situation, that gift is not nearly as nice as that price tag may say.
And that gift can lead to divorce, strife. So many couples you see get divorced over money.
Yeah.
Over money because you made poor financial decisions. Your job is great today. Fantastic. I am so happy that you have a great job. However, that job can be taken away from you. You know, at some point, you're going to get older and you may age out of that position. And we work with professional athletes.
Oh,
so it's only a period of time for those guys. Right?
Short shelf life there.
Right. Exactly. So what are you going to do next? That's always our goal. Day one is even thinking about beyond sports. However, it's only for a period of time and you have to treat it as such. Put your money away, making sure you save for a rainy day. And who knows what can happen. And the more you grow, the higher in the ranks you become, the more haters there are. They're out there.
Yeah.
People don't want to tear you down and will gloat in your misery. So we want to make sure that you can avoid all of that. And there was a book by Thomas Stanley about 20 years ago, mm-hmm. The Millionaire Next Door.
Uh-huh.
And awesome book, talked about, you know, how do millionaires shop? What do they buy? The average millionaire. And people think that the millionaire next door buys Maseratis and Ferraris. It's not the case. They buy Fords and Buick. So instead of putting their money in depreciable assets, they put them in assets that grow, i.e. the retirement accounts, investment funds, real estate, everything's like that. I remember early on in my career, in our Nashville office, and a guy came in, he and his wife, with overalls. And I just said, you know, they don't have any money.
Yeah.
Right? So, because I just didn't know.
Yeah.
So, where I grew up, if you had some money, you dressed fancy.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, but I later found out that the people who dressed fancy had no money. Right? So, before I get to the overall story, let me tell you about this other story. So, one of the leading cardiologists, I wanted him to become a client. This was early on in my career. I was just getting started. I chased him around for about a year and a half. Leading cardiologist in a big city. And he would travel. This man went to London to get his suits made.
Wow.
Okay. I said, wow, this is the guy. Brilliant, you know, phenomenal, well-respected. Many people know him. And at the time, and this was in 2000, he made about $1.4 million a year. Well, finally sat down with him in 2000 after chasing him since 98, 99.
Yeah.
And he spent $1.4 million. Yeah. I mean, literally, he had no savings.
Wow.
All the money was spent. He had a credit card debt. I said, how could someone making so much money blow it?
Yeah.
And he was a shopaholic. He's one of the 15.
Wow.
It happens. Keeping up, you feel like you deserve it because you work hard in a certain area.
Right.
No, you deserve to have security versus that. So it goes back to my overall question, my overall comment. So the man comes in with overalls, he and his wife, and say, Glenn, hey, you know, how you doing? He's got a little farm right outside of Nashville. And, you know, we want you to manage our money. Okay, fine. You know, how much you got? You know, $25,000, $50,000. And, I mean, mud on the shoes. And, I mean, just, you know, nothing fancy about this. And they had millions.
Wow.
Millions of dollars. Say, hey, we want you to manage this. We've, you know, we just saved everything we could. And here we are. And they were in their 50s and could have easily retired and been done at that point because of how well they've done.
Wow.
So that's security.
Yeah.
And they take huge trips. They're still clients to this day. They take huge trips around the world. They do all the things they want to do now because of delayed gratification.
Yeah.
They didn't wait till they were 90 to start enjoying life, right? Because you're on the downside then, but way probably before then, if you're still here. But they were in their mid-50s, and they saved along. They had children. The children were growing in college and just graduating from college. And they made sure they had everything taken care of. They didn't have student loans because of delayed gratification, because of the power of compound interest.
Man.
You know, there's nothing like it. Louis Vuitton, Gucci, you know, can't touch compound interest. Your money making money for you. And I want you to think about this. When you're going shopping, when you're thinking about buying gifts for other people, think about the gift of compound interest. If you want to buy something for somebody, buy them a stock.
Yeah.
You know, buy one of these companies that you're thinking about buying one of these gifts from.
Yeah.
Right? Well, why not do that?
Buy some Amazon stock.
Yeah, buy you some Amazon stock. Buy you some Starbucks stock. You know, you go to Starbucks every day spending $25 for a cup of coffee. You know, go ahead. Why not buy the stock and make money that way?
It's like you say all the time, opportunities are going to present themselves. Now, it's up to you to be in the financial position to take advantage of them.
Oh, it happens.
And overdoing yourself, or, you know, overexerting yourself or overspending during Christmas just takes one more chance away from you to capitalize on an opportunity down the road. So make it a good holiday season, folks. Just don't make it a stressful one on the back end, I guess, is the main thing to keep in mind.
And we're going to talk about some things in the new year that I think are going to be amazing. They're going to be amazing opportunities that are going to present themselves because of this administration.
Yeah.
At some point, the market is going to go backwards. It always happens. So when it does, there lies opportunity.
Right.
You need to have the money, the cash available to take advantage of the opportunity. Why be there and have no money to bring to the table because you get all this junk that you don't even use anymore?
Right.
It doesn't even make sense.
What is this? I gave that to you for Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Never mind.
So watch the shopping.
Yeah. Watch the shopping, folks. One more time, real quick, you can call. And if you have any questions, like I said, this is just a place for you to ask questions, and we'll take the opportunity. We're going to be off for a couple of weeks. We should let everybody know. But Nick will be back. Glenn will be back right after the first of the new year. So, but do call if you have any questions at 980-288-4022, 980-288-4022. And, of course, you can always find out more about Worth Financial and their great folks over there at worthadvisors.com. Heck, call up and just ask to talk to Glenn. Trust me, you're going to love it. Glenn, have a wonderful, wonderful holiday, my friend. I hope you and your family are blessed.
Man, same to you. And I will say to the caller, certainly call in if you have any questions at all. We received some great questions. We were able to help some people. Please feel free to call. Look, I read this stuff all the time. So you can call us and get good answers. Not all financial planners, not all certified public accountants or accountants are made equal.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure you get the right advice. So call us. All right. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy New Year.
Nick, Merry Christmas.
Peace.
This has been The Worth Report with your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
to learn more about Worth Financial and to speak to one of their advisors, call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or log on to worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com.